Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line. We are live right here on Sports Grid on a Wednesday morning. I am Kevin Walsh alongside Donnie Wrightside. No 7-7 today. You know what the top headline is. The Milwaukee Bucks are your NBA champions, beating the Phoenix Suns in 6 games, winning last night 105-98. Giannis dropping 50 points. Donnie, we have ourselves a new NBA champion.
Yes, we do, and congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks. Hey, you need to get some breaks along the way for title runs. The Milwaukee Bucks took advantage of those breaks, and they were down 0-2 in the NBA Finals, Kevin, then won 4 straight games, clinching on their home court in Game 6 in front of all of those fans. But boy, the storyline here, 105 points by the Milwaukee Bucks, 50 of those by Giannis Antetokounmpo. Amazing performance by the MVP.
No doubt about it. Here in hour number one, we will break down the NBA Finals in its entirety. Milwaukee's path here, Giannis's Finals MVP, the supporting cast, Coach Budenholzer as well, riding the ship when his job was on the line during multiple points of this postseason. Phoenix's run, what is next for this Phoenix team as well? An interesting decision looming for Chris Paul. We also on the FanDuel Sportsbook have odds for next year's NBA champion. We will spin it around on all of that here in our opening hour. But let's start with the specifics of game number 6. And as Donnie just mentioned, there is nowhere else you can go than Giannis accounting for nearly half of his team's points in this game. 50 points, 16 of 25 from the floor, 14 rebounds, a ridiculous 5 blocks in this game, showing why he has already won a Defensive Player of the Year award. But of all the numbers that stand out, Donnie, 17 of 19 from the free throw line. In the biggest game of his career, Giannis probably played the best game of his career.
No, he certainly did. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games, and that's exactly what Giannis Antetokounmpo did yesterday. When the game was on the line, he wanted the basketball, didn't shy away from the spotlight. Having free throw troubles all year long, as you pointed out, in the biggest moments, making them, as you said, 17 of 19 from the free throw line. Amazing performance at home. And how about the start of this game, Kevin? As we did the radio show last night, looks like it's probably going to be a blowout win by Milwaukee after the first quarter. I mean, 16 points out of the Phoenix Suns, a 29-16 first quarter, completely flipped on his head, and he said, here we go. Phoenix is now back into the series. They look like a serious contender heading into the fourth quarter, tied up. I think we got everything as fans that we wanted outside of a Game 7, a competitive environment. It wasn't a blowout. You saw the fans get their chance to celebrate. And one of the true things about sports, Kevin, whether you're a gambler or not, the excitement of the home crowd when they finally realize we are about to do this. You know, under a minute to go, getting an extra rebound, this three-point shot, even Chris Middleton's unbelievable shot from the point where they were up 4 points with under a minute to go to make it 6 points. The crowd was finally able to get after that this time. Wonderful stuff out of the Milwaukee Bucks. Deserve a champions. They're an NBA champions.
Yeah, you could certainly hear it in that building. You could see the crowd start to realize what was happening as they were about to become the NBA champions. It was just a phenomenal evening of ball. It was really a great series overall. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to everybody that is listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, all of our radio affiliates out there here on a Wednesday morning after crowning a new NBA champion. The Milwaukee Bucks win it in six games over the Phoenix Suns. Giannis comes away with unanimous MVP honors. We will expand more on Giannis certainly here in this opening hour. An all-out excellent postseason from the Greek Freak. But he is not the only one that stepped up here, Donnie. We were talking a little bit about it pre-show together. We saw that Chris Middleton possibly was going to need to be traded. We saw that Coach Budenholzer, no matter how far this team advanced, might need to be moved on from that head coach position. Giannis, by far and away, the story for this team. But they had a lot of different people at different moments step up and answer the bell.
Correct, they did. You know, even yesterday, Pat Connaughton plays 23 minutes in Game 6 of the NBA Finals, goes 0 for 4 from three-point range, and actually registers, Kevin, a minus 21 on the court, just praising him a few days earlier, saying, look at how many minutes he's playing. Look at all the three-pointers that he knocked down. You need different players to step up. And also, take a look. Like, Giannis's 50 points out of the 105 is amazing, not only in just, you know, regular season game in January or February, but you're talking about a closeout situation where he said, this is my team, this is my city, I am going to win this NBA championship tonight. Watch me show out. Because when you look at some of the other players in the lineup, Drew Holiday, 4 for 19, 12 points. You know, Chris Middleton, 17 points, but on 6 of 13 from shooting. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 16 of 25 from the floor. An amazing performance from the free throw line. And how about PJ Tucker, Kev? 36 minutes, puts one shot up, doesn't score a single point, but ends up a plus 13 because of his hustle on defense. They just worked together. They leaned on their big guy, and they got it done.
And I think for Coach Budenholzer, he made the simplest adjustment that you could make and one that we had all been calling for. Last year, Giannis averaged 31 minutes per game in the postseason. This year, 38 minutes per game in the postseason. Just go let someone that is arguably the best player in the world be out there more often than not, and it'll certainly help your ball team here. So much to break down here. Of course, the Phoenix side of this, incredibly interesting, up 2-0, surrendering that lead, not winning another game. All of it and more coming up next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. We're live right here on Sports Grid Wednesday morning. NBA Finals recap. We have ourselves an NBA champion. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Phoenix Suns in six games. Quite a road for Milwaukee to get here. I want to talk a little bit more, though, about game number six and the specifics from this matchup here. And once again, it is just impossible to ignore that 5-0, 50 points from Giannis in the closeout game. And he started out, you could tell, aggressive, Donnie. But all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, midway through the third quarter, whoa, this guy has 30 points here. He sees the moment. And that's going to maybe become a forgotten part of the series, or maybe just the game as a whole. Milwaukee looked like they were going to run away with the championship in the first quarter, only to have Phoenix up at the break. That Giannis start to the second half was so crucial.
Yeah, and you're right. It would seem like it was in the blink of an eye, and that's what you need your superstars to do, because we were joking earlier in the first half, like, I know you were on the Giannis prop to be the highest scoring player in game six here, plus 100. He said, look at this. I'm going to have to compete with Bobby Portis, because in the beginning of the game, he wasn't as assertive at that point and wasn't scoring that much. He said, you got to be kidding me. This should be one of the easier bets on the board, but certainly pulling away in the third quarter. And Chris Middleton, I think, said it best here, Kevin, once the game ended. Let's be real. In the second half, it was all Giannis. The reason why we won an NBA championship was Giannis. And it's nice to see the stars on the biggest stage do unbelievable things, because coming into the game, you know, points prop, what, 32.5, somewhere in that range on the FanDuel Sportsbook, to get 50 points and do it in epic fashion. And he goes to the free throw line, which, again, he struggled all season long, making 17 of 19. But how about late in the game when he needed to knock one down to get to that 50th point, and he absolutely did it. You heard the explosion from the crowd because he was doing something that you don't see all that often. I believe maybe only one time in NBA history in a closeout game that somebody went for 50 points. It was probably, you know, back in the 60s, I believe, is where I read that. Great performance by Giannis all the way across the board. But also, let's not forget some of the other players that helped get the Milwaukee Bucks to this spot. You know, look, Middleton didn't have a great game, 6 of 13. Holiday, 4 of 19. But when you can add in some good defense, and also I get back to the point with Middleton saying, I'm just going to take a step back here. I don't have to play hero ball. When my time and chance to step up in this game will come, I'll do it. And he knocks down that late elbow jumper with about 50 seconds to go, basically to salt that game away, putting them back up 6 points. If he misses that, it's a 4-point game and headed back in the other direction, and we might be headed for maybe a tie game, maybe a closer game down the stretch. But those other options here certainly played well. But Giannis was Batman last night, really came to play. The signal was up in the air out in the Deer District, Kevin, and Giannis answered the bell.
The incredible thing is, I cannot stop staring at this 17 of 19 performance from him at the line.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, that's the game, right? If Giannis went out there and shot 10 of 19, I don't think anybody bats an eye. Well, all of a sudden, this is tied at 98 all. That was the difference here. And some of the struggling performances that we saw, not all that surprising. Middleton hit some big shots down the stretch. Listen, if we're victory lapping, you know, a 6 of 13 performance, then we've really lowered the bar, right? Jrue Holiday, 4 of 19. Just so unsurprising to see Holiday not be able to put another consecutive game back-to-back in the bag for him. But even on the Phoenix side, you know, where's Devin Booker? Where's Devin Booker? Devin Booker came off consecutive 40-point performances. That was always going to be a big-time asking price for him. I'm not pinning the loss on one certain person, Donnie, but that DeAndre Ayton start to the game, which I think was 1 of 8 from the floor, was crippling to this Phoenix team.
From the first few series that we saw them go through, being the Phoenix Suns, it was like, oh, we are coming into his own now. This is Joel Embiid light right in front of our eyes, a 22-year-old center dominating, obviously, his rebound presence, defensive presence, but also his offensive game and being extremely efficient. It looked right away he was a little bit off, you know, a little bit timid going to the rim. And as you see, 4 for 12 from the field, 4 for 5 from the free throw line, which is nice, but you can't have a minus 7 out of your center in a big game situation. And also, Kevin, as we take a look at, yeah, he adds the 12 points. You would have liked to see him get up into the high teens, but the rebound numbers, only 6 rebounds from your center last night. And keep in mind, I think you were correct when you're trying to build some of these, you know, parlay props. There's going to be a lot of bricks. There were a ton of bricks in this game, Kevin. It's not like both sides went 75% from the field. It's like, hey, what did you want him to do? He only had a half dozen chances to actually get rebounds, and he did quite well. Didn't show that presence that we've seen over the first few rounds. He's still a young player. He will learn from it, but you do have to be better. And also, Kevin, how about what we talked about before the game coming into it? That nice pace that we had in Game 5. 3 balls going down on both sides of the equation. Looks like it really bit back last night. The Phoenix Suns go on the road after shooting the lights out at home, Kevin. 6 of 25 from the field, which is 24%. Then you take a look at the Bucks. 6 of 27 for 22% at home. So sometimes in this series, Kevin, when we just look at the stats, they don't really add up. Because if you say before the game, Milwaukee's going to shoot 45%, but oh yeah, 22% from the three-point line, you probably think they lose that game. Not so fast when you have Giannis.
You know, talking about the total, right? Milwaukee covering this game with a 7-point victory, whether you laid 4.5 or 5 points. The game going under, no matter the number that you were able to catch pre-game. The betting is obviously always difficult. This NBA Finals saw the total zigzag quite often, Donnie. I do feel like you and I were able to see the totals quite well. Different things, you know, were sometimes a bit of a struggle. Devin Booker's 40-point back-to-back game completely blew my mind. What a tremendous performance from him in that respect. But the total here, it just felt at times predictable from these teams. You knew, okay, they're due for a big night here. Okay, this is now when it drops off. And you saw those ebbs and flows throughout the series. And I think that some in ways relates to Milwaukee, it looked at least, Donnie, being a little bit more comfortable regardless of the style. They had been such a high-scoring team throughout the regular season that if that's what it's going to be, then they're comfortable with that. But on the defensive side of the ball, that's where they had been making their hay during a lot of this postseason. And that's, you know, what I think pretty fitting for them in the closeout game to hold Phoenix to under 100 points.
Yeah, it was a great performance there on the defensive end because it stayed well under the total, which closed around that 222 range. As we were watching on the first quarter doing the radio, you know, it's 211, it's 210, it's 206. It moved down quite fast. And also, from the beginning of the game, you saw that tempo just wasn't there. And the shot-making ability that was so fluid in Game 5 wasn't so fluid in Game 6 as they had the 29-16 first quarter. Now, you also had a role reversal in the second quarter. But keep in mind, both of these teams came out and played extremely well in the third quarter. 65 total points, 35 of those coming from the hometown Milwaukee Bucks. But then you saw the fourth quarter, and it's the same thing we tried to say pregame what we thought would happen. In a closeout game situation, if it's close, the ball is going to slow down, and that's exactly what it did to help them stay way under the total in this one. So 105-98, even saw those odds boosts here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 230, which you say, hey, you know what? They got their last game. But in closeout game situations, sometimes you equate it like a regular season game finally to a playoff game. It means just a little bit more. Maybe you're not running tempo up and down the court when you can finally see that championship in your sights. Or if you're the Phoenix Suns, you're just trying to extend it to a game 7. Do you have to make that miraculous bounce pass from half court all the way in for a layup dunk? No. Maybe you dribble it up, look at the coach, get into your sets, and maybe find a little bit better or easier of a jump shot to try to make. It was a great performance by the Milwaukee Bucks, but I think it played out, Kevin, total-wise, exactly the way we thought.
For this series and for these teams, we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of their projections moving out. We have odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook again for next year's NBA champion that I think will be able to help us do that. Plus, we've got some great stuff, again, pertaining to this series and hot or not. I just want to say as well, a part of me, I wanted a game 7 for the sake of having a game 7, but as this game was playing out, Donnie, I was dying to see finals MVP odds after this game if we were going to a 7th game. I don't know in any world how Giannis wasn't going to win finals MVP in a losing effort here. That was going to be the case, but I guess in a way it's kind of that catch 22. If he was going to put up a performance of this caliber, they were going to win an NBA championship. The last three players to put up 50 points in the NBA Finals, Giannis, LeBron, Michael Jordan. Certainly some incredible company there. We come on back, continue to break down the NBA Finals.
Are you one of us?
We just got one question.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside talking about the NBA Finals. We've talked a lot about the Bucks. We'll continue to talk about the Bucks. We need to talk about the Phoenix Suns. A lot of different ways you can take this here. Phoenix goes on a run to the NBA Finals, year one of CP3 coming. Monty Williams with a tremendous coaching performance. Devin Booker putting up tremendous numbers for a player of his age. DeAndre Ayton showing incredible growth. A lot of different role players stepping up. The Cams, campaign, Cam Johnson. Also, Donnie, up 2-0 in the NBA Finals. Weren't even able to force it to his 7th game. A lot of different ways here. How does this Phoenix result land for you?
Yeah, it seems about right, and it's what we call a missed opportunity. It's because we're going to talk a little bit about what the future of the Suns will be, but just living in the moment and knowing how sports works day to day to day, when you have your chance to chase a ring and get to the highest mountain and be in the NBA Finals, as Chris Paul was, up 2-0, you figure to yourself after that second game, what's the worst case scenario that can happen? We go to Milwaukee, we split, we come home, win it in 5. If we don't do it then, and maybe Milwaukee surges, we still get game 7 at home, we'll handle it then. It's so hard to win a championship outside of like the dynasty teams, like, you know, the Michael Jordans winning, you know, six straight championships while he was on the team basically for full seasons. And the Lakers, you know, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal. I understand that. Even the Houston Rockets back in the mid-90s when Jordan took that little bit of a hiatus, they went back-to-back. It's so hard to repeat, let alone stay a sustained success. Now, the problem that you're going to have is once you get here and you're up 2-0, where is that landing spot, Kevin? Like, you go into the offseason, like, okay, let's get better, let's get back to the championship. But you still have in the back of your head, now, wait a second. Everything basically fell right for us in this series. We actually had home court advantage throughout the NBA Finals. We capitalized on injuries when they came in front of us. That's not always going to be the case. So if you don't take that championship down this year, yes, they're a good organization. They have really good basketball players. Will they challenge for an NBA championship next year, Kevin? Probably so. Making the playoffs, maybe another deep run. But it's got to really sting where you finally get home and you can't land the plane. Now all of a sudden you head into the offseason going, okay, let's run it back. But, oh, no, look at all these teams that are healthy once again and back in our way.
That's where I think things are quite difficult here for the Phoenix Suns. Look, ultimately, their fan base doesn't care about this. They made a run to the NBA championship, distraught over blowing a 2-0 lead. But this series, again, begs the question about just how good this Phoenix team was. And I know there's a lot of people who are very proud to, I told you so, they were always this good, there's nothing fluky about it. They played one healthy team. They proceeded to lose four consecutive games to that one healthy team. The Phoenix Suns were a first-round exit if Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt. That's not me living in the past. We saw it play out. The Lakers were a minus 800 series favorite after being up 2-1 in that series. They swept Denver. They absolutely steamrolled Denver. Does Jamal Murray being healthy for that series change a 4-0 sweep? Probably not. A little bit more competitive, maybe a little bit more of a battle, but ultimately probably not. And then the Clippers. They go 6 with the Clippers. Now, certainly better than the pathetic Utah Jazz, but no Kawhi Leonard. No Kawhi Leonard. It was handed to them on a silver platter. And it's also quite fair to say one of the two wins Phoenix was able to pull out, Giannis was only able to play 35 minutes, was his first game back after a week-long absence because of an injury, and probably wasn't fully healthy. So for this Phoenix team, how competitive will they be for an NBA championship next year? Tough to say. The one thing that's a positive for them is Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, and DeAndre Ayton, all 25 or younger, when we go into next season. But the other looming question, of course, is Chris Paul. Because at the end of the day, Chris Paul was a massive catalyst for this team. How you want to divvy up the credit between CP3 and Monty Williams and Devin Booker, I will let you decide. But we all acknowledge that Chris Paul had a lot to do with this. And you see that there if you're watching on the television side, the Chris Paul quote that I ain't retiring, back to work. Yeah, back to work doesn't mean it's back to work in Phoenix, Donnie. The opportunity to opt out at the end of this year and potentially join a new organization for CP3.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one to watch as we go over the summer, and I think the NBA loves this. We often joke, Kevin, there's more action off the court, particularly in the summer of free agency, than there is on the court when you just get done in NBA finals. Now, the question is going to be, what does CP3 want to do? He's had all the money in the world. He's had a wonderful career. What is the one thing that he's missing, which he was hoping he was going to get this year? An NBA championship ring. He has 1 year at $44 million with the Suns. To most of us out here watching the show, it's a no-brainer. Let me sign that contract to opt back in and get that $44 million, and we'll play it out on a really good Phoenix Suns team. Yeah. But also, we know in the NBA, the ability for these guys to extend their careers as long as they take care of themselves. Chris Paul looked great. Yeah, maybe a little bit of wear and tear, but you saw the game last night that he had in a closeout game. Still fought hard, 26 points, 5 assists in that game. He still has a lot left in the tank, switched over. Now he's a vegan. Maybe he's drinking some wine like LeBron James. But he does have a few good years left. The question is me, is it one more payday, Kevin, where you're saying, okay, Phoenix, I want to come back, but I'm going to opt out. Now I went 3 years and $120 million, or is this the Chris Paul that opts out, takes a step back and says, I need to win a championship. Let me go for the right situation now as I'm getting older in my career with only maybe 1 or 2 years left in my upper prime. to try to chase that ring? That's the question you have to ask. And it's very hard. I mean, we all want answers, Kevin, right away, right? He just lost an NBA Finals, which he thought he was finally going to get that ring. Hey, what are you going to do next year? You're going to opt out? You're going to opt in? What teams are you looking at? I'm sure it's gone through his mind over the length of the year what he's finally going to do. But in that moment, he's not going to give you an answer. Like, you know what? I'm going to opt out. I have three teams on my list. I'm going to have a press conference tomorrow, and we'll settle that in about 2 weeks. This is going to take some time for him to think about. He's got a great situation, Kevin, either way. Either he stays in Phoenix for 1 year and $44 million, stays in Phoenix with a monster contract and opts out of it, or he goes to a title contender, still gets a decent paycheck, but not as much, Kevin, that he would have got from the Phoenix Suns.
I have to say, if 2 years ago you would tell me that I would be doing a show where someone would suggest that Chris Paul would opt out of his 1 year, $44 million option, I'd be like, hey, listen, you got to get this guy out of here. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But obviously Donnie's correct. Obviously Donnie's correct about that. Chris Paul transitioned from the worst contract in the NBA to of a steal of value. And this is the thing about Chris Paul now is he's 36. If he goes out there and takes the 1 year, $44 million, obviously that is phenomenal. But as Donnie mentioned, you probably only have one more chance to bang the register and get a four-year contract, very likely, if you are Chris Paul. And if you take that one-year deal, and then if injury does pop up or things don't go your way, or people just say, hey, look, you're 37 now, I don't know if you'll be able to do it in that way. And Chris Paul has a couple of different directions that he can go. At the end of the day, for Chris Paul, the idea of being in one place, I'm not sure he really cares about, right? Clippers, Rockets, Thunder, Suns. I mean, he's now been moving around over the last five or so years, kind of any way here. And I'm not sure Phoenix, it's almost the opposite of, right, the perfect porridge in the middle. You either want to go to that major market where you can thrive, and people have rumored Chris Paul to the New York Knicks nonstop, that they're looking to make that kind of a splash. The Suns, again, significantly more competitive. We see what they did. The future is incredibly bright. But being a New York Knick, perhaps something Chris Paul's always wanted. And then the other end of that is being able to compete for an NBA championship at the absolute highest level, and you're not sure if you can do that with the Phoenix Suns. And again, that's why this is very important, the context of this Suns run, because some folks will say that that is ridiculous. They just went to the NBA Finals. Others will say they played one healthy team and lost four straight games to that one healthy team. It's up to Chris Paul to believe how legitimate he believes this team and their chance to get back to this spot actually is. And you'll notice here, Donnie, as we bring up these odds for next year's NBA championship, the Phoenix Suns 12-1 to win the title, tied with the Clippers for the fourth best odds. I'll just say that price to me doesn't seem to be factoring in a potential Chris Paul exit.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, the newness of it as we're taking a look at, because you're right. And also, as you take a look at the Clippers, who are tied with the Phoenix Suns, both 12-1 right here, that has a lot to do with what Kawhi Leonard is going to do as well. But the original point that we're trying to bring up or get across here is the Phoenix Suns, typically when you win an NBA championship, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks aren't even the favorites, and it's a long shot here on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win next year. The Brooklyn Nets sit at that plus 195 level. So you just get off of these two teams meeting up in the finals, and typically you get that nod of approval next year. If they're not going to be one, they're going to be a really close two, because you don't see the Milwaukee Bucks breaking up, Kevin, right? They're not going to take pieces apart. They're not in salary cap hell, for a better use of words. Mm-hmm. They're all coming back. They just won it. But yet the NBA odds are saying, like, let's hold on here. You know, maybe you shouldn't have won the championship if the Brooklyn Nets were healthy. That's the way you look at the next season in 2021-2022. But if you are Chris Paul and you are the Phoenix Suns, I think you can retool that roster, maybe bolster that bench. And if CP3, let's just say he doesn't opt out and goes for that one more year, there's still going to be a very good NBA team that's in the mix. Are we going to crown them champions of the West and get to the NBA Finals? Probably not. But as you look around the landscape to get paid and have a very good basketball team, and, oh, yeah, live in Phoenix, it's not a bad option for Chris Paul to run it back here, Kevin.
I couldn't help but chuckle, though, because you mentioned something with Milwaukee. Obviously, they're going to run it back. boy, was Middleton on a new team and Budenholzer was looking for a new job almost assuredly in during that Brooklyn series. I mean, there were people who said no matter what the Bucks do, they should fire Budenholzer. There was a little, you know, some joking conversations last night. Like, hey, listen, I don't know. I still might let Mikey B walk out of that door here. The Bucks are +850 to win the NBA championship. We will talk about next year, where these teams are moving forward, and what should be a very fun edition of Hot or Not next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here after the NBA Finals have come to a conclusion. The Milwaukee Bucks win it in six over the Phoenix Suns after being down 2-0 to Phoenix. They rip off four in a row. Giannis with 50 points in the closeout game. A unanimous Finals MVP, an award he actually might have won even if they lost this series. Luckily for him and Milwaukee fans alike, they will never have to actually find out about that, but it does transition us to Hot or Not, and we'll start with Giannis right away. Two MVPs, a Defensive Player of the Year, a Finals MVP, and an NBA champion, all at the age of 26. The question, though, Donnie, Giannis is the best player in the world, Hot or Not?
It's hard to go not, you know, after the NBA Finals wraps up and the guy drops 50 at home in Game 6 to clinch it and takes down an MVP award in the finals, matching his regular season MVPs, and now is a ring. So this is a great topic to talk about in the next day. But as we try to look at, is he the best player in the world? I ask myself this. I don't care about longevity of career and say, well, he's only 26. He's got 10 more years left. If I have an NBA team next year and I'm building and I can pick anybody I want on my franchise, you know who I'm actually probably going with? Luka Doncic and also Kevin Durant to start my basketball team. And this isn't like, not for the future, not for what I'm going to get out of Giannis because maybe KD's getting a little bit older, but for one season, and I have the number one overall pick, Giannis is a great player. We're not knocking Giannis here just because I'm not making it hot. He's the greatest player in the world. You have to understand, it's very hard to say not after what we just saw in the NBA Finals. But if I'm looking to start a basketball team, which to me would be I'm picking the best player in the world, it's probably going to be Doncic and also coupled by Kevin Durant. For one season in the NBA, that's who I would say would be the best player in the world. Giannis is very close, extremely talented, wonderful basketball player, dominating in every aspect. But the best player in the world, I'm going to go with a not right now here, Kevin.
I struggle with this mightily. And let me just, as Donnie said, there is no not coming from me on the guidelines of I don't believe in Giannis. Giannis answered the bell in an unbelievable fashion. The Milwaukee Bucks probably get swept if he doesn't play in this series. In fact, they definitely get swept if he doesn't play in this series. He averaged 35 a game in the NBA Finals. The postseason questions have been answered. Simultaneously, I watched a series this postseason. He wasn't the best player in the series. That was quite obviously Kevin Durant. I still think it takes quite a lot to move yourself in front of LeBron James for all that he has done. When LeBron was healthy, he was a minus money favorite to win MVP. But there's also legitimate health concerns around the other guys. There are five active finals MVPs in the NBA. One of them is Andre Iguodala, so let's just push that aside. It's Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, and Durant. Those are the four. Three of them have some very legitimate health concerns. Giannis, somehow, even though he hyperextended his knee during this postseason, perhaps doesn't come with those. I think for today, perhaps maybe just to provide some balance here to our show, I will say Hot on Giannis. Ultimately, though, I think where this really lands right now is a four-person race who will be able to stake a very legitimate claim to that case next year. And do remember, while some people might think that this is, who cares, best player in the world, it always matters, and it always impacts postseason expectations. It's why Durant almost single-handedly carried Brooklyn to the conference finals and then probably what would have been an NBA championship. It's why LeBron is the greatest franchise over the last decade plus of NBA basketball, and it could very well be the recipe to success for the Milwaukee Bucks moving forward, which brings us to our next topic here on Hot or Not. Typically, the defending champions will find themselves being heavily respected in next year's title odds. Some folks maybe will see that the Bucks are not the third choice at plus 850. Donnie, hot or not, the Milwaukee Bucks should be favorites to win the next NBA championship.
I'm going to say not on this one as well. And again, this isn't knocking the Milwaukee Bucks of not being a good franchise. They just hoisted the trophy. But this is year to year, and I think we can both agree, if we're watching that Brooklyn series with at least two of the big three healthy, they end up taking down the Milwaukee Bucks. And then we're talking about the Bucks rebuilding and trading Giannis away, and what a mistake contract that was, and Budenholzer's a bad coach. Why did we even go out and sign Drew Holiday? We should have kept Bledsoe on our team. That's a whole nother story. But just looking at it next year, you have to assume everybody coming back healthy, probably Kevin Wright outside of Kawhi Leonard with that knee injury. Not so sure he's even going to play next year. But if you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, the same way I equate it to a team in town in another sport, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they could struggle a little bit. You know, they cannot be at their best, but you know that organization is always going to put their best foot forward. Money is no issue. Go out and make these roster changes. I expect LeBron James to probably be a magnet for another really good and talented player to come with the Los Angeles Lakers. But at the same time, you look, the team that we just talked about, expected back healthy next year unless Kyrie Irving decides they want one up and retire, and, you know, James Harden gains 50 pounds in the offseason and doesn't feel like playing next year. Let's take all those out of the equation. If Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant are all healthy and they have a decent bench, then that's by far and away, to me, are the best team in the NBA. But saying that, you have to stay healthy. Kyrie Irving didn't stay healthy. James Harden didn't stay healthy. You know, Kevin Durant was carrying that basketball team almost past the Milwaukee Bucks at that time. So I lean on that a little bit more. And do you get fat and happy after winning a championship? Is that luster gone? Do you work as hard in the offseason? Because let's also remember, you're not getting that extended time, meaning Drew Holiday and also Chris Middleton are going to play in the Olympics, which would take another 3 to 4 weeks. And then you have that quicker turnaround to the NBA season next year. I'm going with the not. The Bucks will be in it next year. Absolutely. They're a very good basketball team as long as they stay healthy. But the Brooklyn Nets, let's be real. The big three is healthy. They're the best.
Absolutely. This is an absolute not. Brooklyn should be the favorite. The price is interesting. We'll discuss that in a moment. I will say I'm a little surprised that Milwaukee is not closer to the Lakers. I don't know if that has to do perhaps with the Nets occupying so much top-level real estate and then being in the same conference as the Bucks, but I'm surprised to not see those two teams closer together. And everything that Donnie just said there is exactly why the Nets belong in front of this Milwaukee team here. We saw the Nets look like the better team in that series, and they were never, ever near full health in that series. It is nearly impossible to make any argument for any team that is not the Brooklyn Nets to be the favorites. The question, though, Donnie, and I just want to stick on this for a moment here, plus 195, a year out from crowning an NBA champion, that's where I think it's a little too far there. I mean, perhaps the Bucks are that terrified of the Brooklyn Nets, but I can't believe that we're looking at a sub-200 favorite a year away from the NBA Finals.
And who would be making that bet, right? You know, most gamblers, you know, unit here, half unit there, have some fun with it. I don't know if anybody is running onto the FanDuel Sportsbook today saying, I have to take the Brooklyn Nets right now, plus 195. Maybe 4-1, you know, plus 450 in that range. Okay, you know, sock a little bit away, and maybe you can see what happens. But an under $2 price here for the Brooklyn Nets 1 year out, when we don't know who is actually going to be who in the NBA. There's going to be a lot of musical chairs, and maybe the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin, get some musical chairs of their own, for better or for for worse. But a price of under 200, you are correct here. That just shows the books being afraid of the Nets and everything that we thought, because this isn't plus 400, plus 500, plus 600 in a row for the top three odds, you know, in the NBA, like the Nets, the Lakers, and the Bucks. This is a market favorite here for the Nets. I'm not buying at that price, even though I just told you, I think the Nets are by far and away, if healthy, the best team in the NBA. But I'm not laying a year out at $2 price at this point.
Yeah, like, I think they're a tier of their own. That basically is a book saying, hey, we're good on Nets money. Fly it down the board. Grab yourself some Wizards. Grab yourself some Pacers. Nobody bet the Nets, please. We don't want to mess with that team here. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns a little bit and hot or not. The Phoenix Suns right now, if you look through it, in terms of where these Western Conference teams are being priced, the Lakers, half of where the Clippers and the Suns are, but the Clippers and the Suns registering second, Warriors and the Jazz not far behind in terms of odds to win the NBA championship. Donnie, hot or not, the Phoenix Suns should be the favorites to repeat as Western Conference champions.
I don't believe so. I don't. And you're looking at teams getting healthy and stronger coming into next year. And yes, as I said, there will be some musical chairs, but I can't help but think the Lakers, Kevin, are going to retool. And your point is brought up, you know, time and time again. If Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, that's probably a series win for the Los Angeles Lakers. And then we're talking about the Phoenix Suns. Like, you got to blow them. They're a young team. Chris Paul, obviously, what a wasted contract. He makes way too much money. He can't win in the playoffs. The narrative does change when you get some injuries and you're able to overcome those, like Chris Paul getting that injury. He actually came back where Anthony Davis was a shell of his former self. But outside in the West, as you take a look, I think the Lakers will be there. You know, the Clippers are still going to be a very good basketball team, and maybe Kawhi comes back in March or April in enough time for a playoff run where he can rest himself and, you know, you don't play every three or four. You do play every 3 or 4 days in the playoffs as opposed to, like, some back-to-backs where he would likely sit at the end of the basketball season. But I can't help but think Utah's going to come back. Denver's still a really good basketball team. What are we doing around Luka Doncic? And, oh, yes, the Golden State Warriors, which have taken a hiatus due to injury, they're going to be back in full force next year once Klay Thompson comes back and you pair him with Seth Curry. There's Steph Curry. That's going to be a tall task. Just because they got to the NBA Finals this year, you have to take each year separately. I don't think they're the best team out West, so I don't think they should be the favorite, and I don't think they win the NBA West next year to get to the NBA Finals.
The easiest knot of all time. They are a round one exit if health doesn't bounce their way. Round one with home court advantage. Admit it to yourself because you know it. You know it in your heart. They were a round one exit. They're not better than the Lakers, hardly better than the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. And by the way, if all you just tell me Kawhi's back by March, I'll be in on the Clippers next year. I promise you that. Because then he doesn't have time to get himself injured in the first half of the season. It might actually be the best thing in the world for the LA Clippers for him to miss the first 60 some odd games of the actual season. The Warriors will look to retool. They have themselves multiple lottery picks and James Wiseman, who looks to be on the block as well. The Phoenix Suns, to me, in no way, shape, or form, should be the favorites to win the Western Conference Championship, and quite clearly, based on the odds here, they will not be the favorites to win the Western Conference Championship. The interesting thing with the Phoenix Suns is what happens to their expectations if Chris Paul is no longer a member of this team. And we'll finish it out here, Donnie. Hot or not, Chris Paul will re-sign with the Phoenix Suns.
I'm going to go hot on this one. There's too much money to pass up. It's a good basketball team. It's a young basketball team. He can go fade into the sunset in Arizona. And let's take a look quickly at the alternatives here. The New York Knicks pop up. He wants to be a New York Knick, which is an underperforming franchise for like the past 50 years. He wants to be a New York Knick because he wants to live in cold weather. He wants to be a New York Knick so he can get blown away by your crosstown rival, Brooklyn Nets. That doesn't make any sense. Like, the aura of playing in the Mecca of basketball, yeah, that's great if maybe you're a 23 or 24-year-old looking to make your name in this business. Chris Paul's been there, done that. He's not going to ride off into the sunset in New York City and get his brains beat in by the Brooklyn Nets and be second fiddle in one city. Stay in Phoenix, make the money. That's what's going to happen.
I think it's a not. Chris Paul will either elite chase that bang here. He doesn't care about going to a new team. He's played for four different franchises in the last five seasons. And if it's about winning an NBA championship, we just talked about it. Phoenix is not the best place for Chris Paul. I don't think he's back with the Suns next season. We come on back and we give you a very deserving and quite obvious hero of the night. We'll be right back.
winning it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line right here on a Wednesday, recapping the NBA Finals, and we give out a hero of the night. Who else was it going to be? It is, of course, the unanimous Finals MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. For a laundry list of reasons. For those that bet him at Finals MVP pre-series around that plus 550, plus 650 range, you cash that ticket. For anybody that bet the Milwaukee Bucks to win the NBA championship at any point in the season, you can thank Giannis Antetokounmpo for you being able to cash that ticket. 50 points in the series clincher. If you bet the over points prop, if you bet him to be the top point scorer, you didn't even bother. Oh, and for good measure, an NBA odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook for him to go over his points prop and for the Bucks to cover last night, cashed as well. Giannis did it all and comes away with perhaps the most deserving hero of the night we've ever given out, Donnie.
Hero of the night, hero of the season, hero of the NBA Finals, Kevin. As you take a look at that four-game win streak to close out the Phoenix Suns, taking a look at Giannis here, 41 points that he scored and 13 rebounds in Game 3. How about 109-103 victory, 43 minutes in that game, 26 points. Obviously, Game 5, 32 points, 9 rebounds, and the closeout game, which he got hero of the night, obviously, for 50 points and 14 rebounds. Now, for me, Kevin, I'm going to go and CJ Krohn with a home run and a losing effort for the Colorado Rockies, but I can see the point in Giannis Antetokounmpo coming and being the hero of the night, lifting an entire city, Kevin, and an entire team on his shoulders. That is exactly what a hero does.
Finally answering the bell in the postseason. Three straight postseasons, his points per game average from the regular season dipped in the postseason. He went up this postseason. He finally went out there and did the darn thing, won himself an NBA championship and a Finals MVP. Giannis, the hero of the night. Hour two is next.
To win, you need a plan. We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you the winning edge. You're listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.